The political climate in America has changed. We've been given a reprieve, and we have to work together to take advantage of that momentum and effect even more cultural and spiritual change. We can rebuild America. The American Family Association is working to do just that, and when you join with your support, it helps maximize the impact. As our thanks, we'll give you a DVD of biblical financial advice from Rob West called Biblical Stewardship. Please visit afa.net and get started today.
It's First Time Caller Day on Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
It is First Time Callers, so start lining up, folks. If you've never been on the show with us, today could be your day.
So First Time Callers only today. Now we're going to ask three questions each.
The quack of a duck does not produce an echo. Is that true or false?
That falls under the category of it's just wrong.
888-589-8840 is the number to call. It is First Time Callers here on Trivia Friday. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. Today I am joined by J.J. Jasper, the pride of Owensboro, Kentucky. Good morning to you, J.J.
Good morning. Great to be here, but I'm a little bit troubled, fellas.
Yeah.
Each year, hundreds of children are sent to the mime boarding school, never to be heard from again. That's troubling. The mime boarding school.
Oh, we got it.
And,
we
you know, just it. Wasting away their days pulling on that invisible rope and
yes.
having those white gloves trying to get out of that imaginary cube. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. Bert Harper is one of the professors today. Good morning, Bert.
Good morning, Ed.
What do you think about that? Just mime school could be tough. Yeah. Speak up, Bert.
He has no reaction. He has nothing to say.
He's trying to do some
sign language.
That's not good for radio, but I had to do it anyway.
That's right. You hey, know? Welcome back, Brother Bert.
It's good to be back, guys. I'm telling you, three of you, y'all have had a run for quite a while. Nobody missing. But
yes, no, Tim, that's right. Yeah. Tim's out today. He'll be back next Friday. And so we're kind of filling in for the boss while he's away.
Last Friday in May. And I think I heard, is it First Time Callers?
Yes.
For this morning? So if you've never gotten on the show before, not if you've tried to get on and haven't been able to get through, but if you've never been on the show, we want you to call this number and be our guest, have some fun, and you might even win something.
You
might win a cap.
888-589-8840. Brother Bert, tell our listeners what the mystery question is.
Mystery question is one of the questions that we'll have. And if you answer that particular question, you'll hear this wonderful sound.
Oh, the beloved cowbell.
Oh, man. In Mississippi State, for some people, it's not beloved, though. Have you noticed in Mississippi?
That's right. That's right.
You know, I don't know why they can't get on board. But anyway, beloved cowbell.
Tim Wildman, of course, is a big Mississippi State fan. And one time on the show, we went through this routine, and he says, And I said, yeah, the pretty irritating cowbell. I almost lost my job that day.
Well, listen, you know, it's a lovely sound.
I just joined the team and said it's the beloved cowbell.
If you answer that question, they'll get one of these caps, right, guys?
Yes.
That's right. If you land on the mystery question, it's going to be one of the original nine, and you answer it correctly, you're going to get a nice AFR cap.
Yeah. Great.
If you want to buy one, you can go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. That's our resource center. We sell those. I don't remember how much they cost, but I think they're in line with other caps.
Yeah, okay.
You know, not the kind you get for $4 at a Shell station, but ball caps, if you get them at a baseball park or something like that, they're
sharp looking.
They are. They're nice.
The design was really good the way they did that. I'm impressed.
All right. Now, the only other thing we would say that, again, remind you this is First Time Callers only, is that you need to be 11 years old or older. So I think we've covered all the basics here. Again, the number to call if you want to get on with us, First Time Callers only, 888-589-8840. So, Brother Bert, we're going to let you go first. I'll go next. JJ will bring up the rear, and then we will head to the phones.
Okay, here's my three. Rocks sink to the bottom when thrown into the water, right?
Sure.
But there's one rock that floats. What is the name of that rock?
Wow. Oh, that's good.
Okay. Here's Mandy Griffith's show. I tried this one time. I know I tried one time not to do it when I was on it.
People complain.
I got more emails that week than any time I've ever been on. They said, no, that won't do. So here it is. What did Barney buy for his parents on their wedding anniversary one year? What did
Barney? I know the answer to this one.
It's funny. Okay.
It is funny.
Okay. What did Barney buy for his parents on their wedding anniversary one year?
And then, I think Andy said to him, you're a fine son, Barney.
You're a fine son, Barney.
I mentioned this. My 10-year-old daughter, Tegan, she's gotten turned on to Andy Griffith. She watched Little House on the Prairie for a couple of years. I think she watched the whole season two or three times in a row. Yeah. Now she's doing that with Andy Griffith. I hear her in there just laughing. That is some timeless humor when you can be our age, 10 years old, and get those jokes, and it's good, clean humor.
And it's lovable characters.
And that's good life lessons.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of wisdom.
So we recommend the Andy Griffith show.
We can recommend it.
Okay, my Bible question. And, you debate how if you ever played Bible trivia, and they'll say, what's the third guy mentioned in Numbers chapter 6, But anyway, I think they'll get this one. How did Paul escape Damascus when the Jews were trying to kill him?
That's not too hard, but it does require that you've done some Bible
reading. It does. It's right.
Or paid attention when the preacher's preaching.
This is Tim's, he was instructed me on how to take his place. He said, don't make it too hard. Don't make it too easy. Just be in the middle of the road. I said, well, that's a yellow stripe.
Hey, guys, you're talking about the Bible, how important it is. Tomorrow I'm going to be at Newton. It's Newton, Kansas, and it's the Newton Weekday Bible School. Way back in 1914, it started in Gary, Indiana in 1914. Then in 1924, a group of pastors in Newton got together, and it's where you teach the Bible to public school kids during lunch. Take them off campus.
Yeah.
With sack lunch and have a Bible study, mentor, disciple these kids. Then it really took off in 1925. It's been going consistent since 1925. They're having their 100th year celebration tomorrow evening at Lindley Hall. It's free. Everyone's invited. Not a banquet, not a fundraiser, a true celebration. Music, laughter. We're going to talk about the program and then refreshments afterwards. And that's in Lindley Hall. In Newton, Kansas, tomorrow evening. Then Sunday morning, I'll be speaking at Emmanuel Baptist Church Sunday night at Newton Bible Church. But back to how important the Bible is, that's just remarkable that's lasted that long.
Amen. What an impact that has had on a century's worth of young people.
And if you might want to consider and pray about bringing that to your area, reach out to the folks there in Newton and
how to do it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here are my three questions. First question. Perhaps you've had a delicious pastrami sandwich in the past, but is pastrami made from beef or pork? Is pastrami made from beef or pork? A Bible question. In Matthew 6, Jesus said we should lay up treasure in heaven because three things can take away our money. And these are just examples being used by the Lord. But what are those three things that can take away our money, the examples that Jesus uses in Matthew 6? And then a true-false question. If you live in Arkansas, every state that borders yours can be entered by going south. Is that true or false? If you live in Arkansas, every state that borders yours can be entered by going south. True or false?
That makes my compass hurt just thinking about it. Here's what I've got. First question from the Bible, just like Brother Bert, try to get the middle of the road, not too easy, not too hard. What road was Saul traveling when he had his conversion experience? What road was Saul traveling when he had his conversion experience? Second question, a scratch test is usually performed when a doctor suspects the patient has what? A scratch test is usually performed when a doctor suspects the patient has what? Fill in the blank. Next question, true or false, airline passengers landing in Turkey are getting fined for standing up too early before the seatbelt sign is turned off. Is that true or false? Airline passengers landing in Turkey, the country of Turkey, are getting fined for standing up too early before the seatbelt sign is turned off. True or false?
Wow. It sounds like something that would happen in a blue state over here. They find people for everything.
Right after 9/11, Jen and I were flying to Washington, D.C., and they did come on 30 minutes before we landed at Reagan. They said, if you get up now, you will not let you get off at Reagan Airport. That was during, 9/11.
Right.
They were
9/11.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that did happen there now.
Nobody
got up those last 30 minutes. They wanted to get off when they got there.
I traveled a few times during COVID, and the flight attendants, man, they just had a little Nazi flight attendant thing going on. They'd browbeat you if your mask just slipped a little bit below your nose. So I might, I don't know if you've got a copy of the book of the Guinness Book of World Records, I might be in there for the person that ate the cookie in the slowest amount of time.
Because that was the only way
I nibbled on that cookie for a 3-hour flight. That's right. If you're eating, you could do it. Because the COVID was real particular about, it wouldn't get on anybody at a tavern. It wouldn't go to an abortion place. And, it was real picky who,
It was a smart virus.
Pretty
smart virus.
Yeah, you could have your mask off if you were eating and drinking.
Or if you were a Democrat mayor or governor and went to a party.
Yes.
It was just amazing.
That's right.
How the virus wouldn't.
That
seems like 100 years ago.
That's right. Everybody's in line with their mask on at a restaurant, then you sit right down 3 feet from where you were standing. Everybody's mask off. You're eating and laughing. And all right, sorry. I got a soapbox.
That seems like 100 years ago.
Thanks for the memories.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Bert, where do we go first?
Okay, Brad from Georgia is left over from last week. Brad, have you been on the phone for a whole week?
No, sure.
Well, I'm glad you called in. Hey, brother, you want to ask, answer, or both?
I'd like to do both, please.
Okay, which question you want to try first?
I'm going to try Brother Ed's question about the treasure in heaven, Matthew 6.
Okay, this is what it says, the question. In Matthew 6, Jesus said we should lay up treasure in heaven because three things can take away our money. What were the three examples that Jesus used?
Okay, that would be Matthew 6:19. It says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So the answer is moths, rust, and thieves.
That is
nicely done. Hey,
well
way
done.
To start us out, Brad, right out of the chute, getting the answer correct.
I thought it was inflation.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
That's a little more modern, but that steals your money on earth.
Yeah,
too.
Man,
there
I'm
you
telling
go.
You.
That's way good. Go. Brad, what's your question for us?
Okay. Can I ask a trick question?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. JJ's here.
Right. We're ready.
Yeah, I know JJ would like this. So this is a Bible question. Who was the shortest man in the Bible? And for a bonus, who was the second? Who was the second shortest?
Brother Bert.
I'm holding up my hand.
Yeah
he's
too.
Got it.
Go ahead.
First of all, they thought it might be, Zacchaeus. But they went back and saw Nehemiah. But then they went to the book of Job and saw Bildad
the Shuhite.
You got it
Did
right.
Did we cover all the bases? Brother Bird had them all.
Yeah. I've never heard the Nehemiah one.
Nehemiah.
Yeah,
Nehemiah. Yeah, Bildad the Shuhite.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, thanks for listening to AFR. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you, Brad. Let's go to Kentucky, JJ's home state, and talk to Lisa. Lisa, thank you for calling.
Yes, hello.
Are you from Owensboro?
No, I'm right outside of Paducah in Leadbetter.
Oh, okay. That's a good area. Lone Oak, Leadbetter, Paducah, all through there. Hey, Lisa, I was born and raised in Owensboro. You ever get up river?
I have, but not very often.
Well, if you drive by there, put your hand over your heart. That's a great place. Hey, ask, answer, or do both?
Just answer.
Which one you feel confident about?
The gift Barney gave.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Anniversary.
I can't wait to hear the answer.
Well, Tim always asks this question. Is this repeated? No, this is a one-time only show. And,
yes, that's right.
Only one time. Here it is. What did Barney buy for his parents on their wedding anniversary 1 year?
A septic tank.
Woo! You're no a fine kidding. Son,
You're
Barney.
You're a fine son, Bar.
Did he wrap it up? Put a bow on top?
No, but he did bury it.
Oh, my word. That's too funny.
Yeah,
so, Lisa, you apparently watch Andy Griffith, or you did, and you enjoy it as much as the rest of us.
Always love to watch Andy, yes.
You know, when you have I Love Lucy and some of these other shows, laughter really is good medicine. I heard a quote years ago. You remember when about good, clean comedy was the best? It still is.
Yeah.
Still is, man.
And so, hey, thank you for listening to AFR. Have a wonderful weekend. And where do we go next, Ed?
Okay, let's go to Georgia and talk to Bo. Bo, thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Doing good. What part of Georgia do you live in, Bo?
I'm from outside Albany, down in southwest Georgia.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Man, yeah.
Kendrick brother country. Yeah. We love Alex and Steven.
Now, say Albany. You know, here it's Albany, and there it's a little bit different.
Yeah, a lot of folks call it Albany.
Albany.
Yeah, I went down there, and I was there, and I said, man, it's good to be in Albany. And they said, no, you're not saying it right. So anyway,
Albany.
Yeah,
Albany.
So anyway, hey, Bo, do you want to answer, ask,
yes,
or both?
Let's do both.
Okay, which question you want to try to answer?
I want to do the one that JJ put up for the scratch test.
Yes, sir. Here's the question. A scratch test is usually performed when a doctor suspects the patient has what?
I'm going to go with allergies.
Allergies. Oh. Nice, Bo. You've never heard that.
Well, now that he mentioned allergies, I know that they do that. They do a little pinprick, or they do a little scratch with some substance to see if the skin reacts.
Right,
is that right?
Right. The scratch.
But I couldn't remember. That. I didn't know that.
Do they do it when a cat scratches you? Is that all?
Yeah, cat scratch fever. Yeah, bring in a cat, give you a cat scan, and have it scratch you. Just
way to go, JJ.
Hey, Bo, what's your question for us?
All right, what is the most produced, it's kind of agriculture because I'm in the agriculture industry, but what is the most produced, commodity in Georgia?
Now, guys, we got peaches and peanuts, probably anything that starts with a P, but let's talk among ourselves.
A lot of pecans are raised.
That's it.
They call it pecans.
Pecans.
They call it pecans in Georgia?
They do, pecans.
You got peaches, peanuts, and pecans. You want each one take one so that we can cover our agriculture basis?
Since I mentioned pecans, I'll take pecans.
What about you?
I'll just take peaches.
And I'll say peanuts. How do we do, Bo?
I'm afraid y'all are all wrong.
Is it watermelon?
What else is it?
The cotton?
Yep, that's cotton.
Cotton used to be king there.
I would have thought, the others, but... cotton's got to come from somewhere.
Bo, I'm sure you know about Enterprise, Alabama, where cotton was king and the boll weevil messed them up, and then they realized, okay, we've got to do something different. A couple of those bad years, and they started planting peanuts, and they actually have a bug on a statue in Enterprise, Alabama. I wrote a little piece of that, a chapter in the book, Jonah Had a Whale of a Time, because I was fascinated. It's the only statue in the world
of a boll weevil,
of a bug, of an insect,
oh.
You know, honoring an insect. But the statue of Liberty lady's holding up a boll weevil over here.
There's a college in Arkansas, and their mascot is the boll weevils.
Really?
I forgot which one it is. Yeah.
What
state? Somebody call
what state
in.
Is this?
In Arkansas.
Arkansas?
Yeah. And it's the boll weevils.
Mississippi State, Mississippi Delta. They
Delta
have an
State.
Interesting. Delta. What is it? Artichokes or
no? It's
okra.
Okra.
The
fighting okra.
Fighting okra.
That sounds pretty vicious,
it
right
is.
There.
And
you get okra mad. Hey, you've got your work cut
the
out.
The scratch
for you.
Test on okra. They'd work together.
There
that'd
you go. Hey, Bo. You've heard about Enterprise and that statue there. I bet, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a good weekend. Thank you, Bo.
Okay, got time for another one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's go to Tennessee. Mike, thank you for calling.
Hey, I'm with you. Can you hear me?
You're right on,
sure
man.
Can.
We got to ask first-time callers, where are you calling from in Tennessee?
A little place called Quebec.
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 Oh. Is that North Canada? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Where? What part of the state is that, Mike?
It is sort of southeast, triangulated between Knoxville, Nashville, and Chattanooga. Little town with no four-way stops, no
go
traffic
straight
signs.
Through it. Well, way to
oh,
go,
yeah.
Man!
If you don't see the sign, you miss it.
Okay. Hey, right. I raised in a town like that. No matter which way you left, north, south, east, and west from where I was raised, you were headed toward town. No matter what. Hey, Mike, you want to answer or ask or both?
Both, please.
Which question you want to answer?
I'm going to guess at the Arkansas question.
All right, Mike, here's the question. If you live in Arkansas, every state that borders yours can be entered by going south. Is that true or false?
May I ask a question before I answer it?
Sure.
Is southwest or southeast considered south?
Yeah, sure.
As long as south comes
then
first.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to answer yes.
It is true.
Now, explain
absolutely
that.
True.
The Missouri
now,
boot heel.
Yes, there's that little part of Missouri that dangles down around Arkansas. You can, from the northeast corner, you can jump into Missouri, and Arkansas kind of flares up out at the top, and so you can go south into Oklahoma as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good trivia question.
It's an oddity of geography.
I had to look at that and I said, the boot heel. And then I thought,
yeah,
you know.
That is the
way to go.
Hey,
Mike.
How did you get that, Mike? Did you look it up or just kind of guess or what?
No, I live in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I've been through every one of those states and know them fairly well.
All right.
Good.
Well, Mike, you got a question for us?
I do. Here's my question, hypothetically, because nobody's ever done this. If you were traveling in a vehicle at the speed of light and you turned on the headlights, would they work?
Okay, so I would guess the headlights. Okay, I'm just going to. Now, these other guys might have a guess. Here's my guess, Mike, is the headlights would come on, but they would not project a beam. That'd be my guess.
Here's my thought. If you turn them on before you start going that fast, they would always be out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn them
on. I think that's right.
And then you start that speed, they would always be out in front of you.
Yep.
But your taillights might catch you.
Here's the deal, Mike. After you tell us the answer to this, I want you to be thinking about how a cat always lands feet first and a bread always lands buttered side down. I wondered what would happen if you strapped a piece of buttered bread to a cat's back.
And dropped it off somewhere?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, what's the answer?
If you define headlights working and you're currently traveling at the speed of light, I think it was Ed that said, no, they don't work.
Yeah, you couldn't project a beam ahead of a beam of light ahead of.
According to when you turn the lights on.
Yeah. That's a good science fiction question.
Man, yeah, you guys, that's really good.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to AFR.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will reset our questions. I've had two answered already. I'm going to have to toss a couple more in. It is first-time callers today. You're listening to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. First-time callers, if you have never been on the air with us for Trivia Friday, this could be your day. Here's the number to call, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. We have J.J. Jasper and Brother Bert Harper. And when we come back, J.J., you give out your information again about where you're going to be in Kansas. Folks, we will be right back. When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times, her first response is to seek out an abortion. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a Preborn Network clinic. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life and doubles a baby's chance at life, which is why Preborn saw over 67,000 babies rescued last year alone. Meet Maddie. Maddie was in a tough situation as she wasn't sure who the father was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered she had twins and found the strength she needed to choose life. Your tax-deductible donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound. How many babies can you save? Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR.
Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man. With an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he. Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man. He was brave, he was fearless, and as tough as a mighty oak tree. From the coonskin cap on the top of old Dan to the heel of his rawhide shoe, the rippin'est, roarin'est, fightin'est man the frontier ever knew.
Well, I just felt like we couldn't interrupt that one. You had to play that one out.
Hey, listen, I'm ready for the show now, man. Fess Parker, he made a good Daniel Boone, didn't he?
Well, I had somebody email me and make that suggestion for the music at the bottom of the hour. So, John,
I'm glad you took
tip
my
of the
suggestion.
Hat to you, John. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm glad you took my suggestion. Yes. I love that show.
That's a great song, too. So.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is Trivia Friday. First-time callers, if you've never been on the show with us, this could be your day. So the number to call is 888-589-8840. Ed Vitagliano, J.J. Jasper, Bert Harper are your professors here on Learning University. Brother Tim is out. He'll be back in the saddle next week. JJ, let our listeners know if they missed it during the first segment where you're going to be speaking.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to be in Newton, Kansas all weekend. Tomorrow evening, a celebration for Newton Weekday Bible School. It's their 100th year celebration at Lindley Hall. Holds about 1,000 people. Ooh. So even if you're from the surrounding areas, if you want to come out, we're going to laugh. We're going to celebrate this ministry, music, have refreshments afterwards. No tickets required. It's a free event.
Wow.
That's
great.
Tomorrow evening, Lindley Hall in Newton, Kansas, Newton Weekday Bible School, 100th year celebration. Then Sunday morning, I'll be speaking at Emmanuel Baptist Church there in Newton, and Sunday evening, speaking at Newton Bible Church. So I would appreciate prayers for safety and travel and for just the Lord to show up in a big way at all of these events.
Amen. And we do have a lot of listeners in that part of the state, of Kansas. And so if you want to get a chance to see JJ and meet him and hear him, you won't regret it. It's a great way to spend time on both Saturday night and then on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Go check that out, and they can go to
maybe jjjasper.com for a little more information. Or if you're there, you know, you can reach out to the different folks, and they'll know more about the times and everything. Actually, this is at least my third time to be in Newton. I went years ago. I spoke at a pregnancy resource center during a snowstorm. I thought, you know, this is going to be a problem. The rental place, when I picked up the rental car, they said, you'll never make it in this. We're going to upgrade you and give you a four-wheel drive pickup. And then it was packed. I mean, the Kansans, they're hardy. They don't mind driving a long way, and they're just used to just being out there. They're just really sturdy built.
Yeah.
So that was then. Then a couple of years ago, I spoke at a Christian school. It was their 50th year celebration.
Wow.
So I'm getting to go back, and I can't wait to return. That's tomorrow, well, throughout the weekend.
Third time's a charm, by the way.
Yeah, I go for the figs, the fig Newtons. Yeah, I'll bring you guys back those for a souvenir.
All right, let's go ahead and reset our questions. Brother Bert, you start us off. I'll go, then JJ, and we'll go back to the phones.
Okay, here's the first one. Rocks sink to the bottom when thrown into the water. That's right, but there's one rock that floats. What is it? And then my Bible question. How did Paul escape Damascus when the Jews were trying to kill him? It was kind of unusual. I'll just put it that way. Okay. And one Andrew Griffith Show question was answered. Here's the other one. And it's not a trick question. What is the day after tomorrow called? Now, it's not Sunday, by the way. It's got a name. What is the day after tomorrow called? What's its name?
Wow. That's interesting.
All right, here I've got one original question remaining, so I'll add a couple because we still have 50 minutes to go. Here's my last remaining question. Perhaps you've had a delicious pastrami sandwich, but is pastrami made from beef or pork? All right, second question. Where is the sea route called Drake's Passage? So just the general idea, geographical location. If you are sailing along Drake's Passage, where are you? And then third question, your cell phone has a SIM card. What does the acronym SIM stand for? What does the acronym SIM stand for when you're talking about a SIM card?
Good questions. Here's what I've got. First question from the Bible. What road was Saul traveling when he had his conversion experience? What road was Saul traveling when he had his conversion experience? There in the book of Acts, we read about that. Second question, true or false, airline passengers landing in Turkey are getting fined for standing up too early before the seatbelt sign is turned off. Is that true or false? And then I'll add one, which famous author's pen name means two fathoms deep? Which famous author's pen name means two fathoms deep?
Wow.
Good question.
That's a great question.
Okay. We ready?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Alabama. Bree, thank you for calling.
Good morning. I want to answer the Mark Twain question.
Hey, that's a good way.
Way to go, Bree. Hey, she's already won.
That's a confident way to say it. I think I know this one. Here's the question, and we'll do this again, Bree. Let me get this horse in front of the cart. Which famous author's pen name means two fathoms deep?
Mark Twain.
Samuel Clements.
Samuel Langhorne Clements in a Lovelet steak place that's named after him. Middle name there. Go out, me and the old lady go out to Langhorne Steakhouse.
You and the old lady. Oh, wow.
And get a steak salad, and they do it upright. Samuel Langhorne Clements, Mark Twain, he was a riverboat pilot, and when you'd go out there and you'd test the water, throw a rope that had knots in it to see if it was deep enough for safe passage. What you're looking for was 12 feet deep, which is 2 fathoms. And then they would say, like, you know, where are we? And they'd yell out, Mark Twain. And it meant that it was, they were marking that it was 2 fathoms deep.
That, I have never heard that.
And he heard them yelling that. He probably did it when he first started as an apprentice, you know, Mark, you know, then like whatever else it would be. But then when they, what they wanted to hear was Mark Twain. Okay, now you're good to go. The water's 12 feet deep. We can get through with this paddle boat.
And so he took that as his
That's
pen
what
name.
He took. Yeah, that's not his real name. Mark Twain with Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer. His real name is, of course, Samuel Langhorne.
So a
Clemens.
Fathom is 6 feet?
Yes.
Okay.
Twain, see, 2 feet.
Yeah.
Twain,
feet.
Two,
that, yes. Two, Mark
two,
Twain.
Two fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But what a fun name tied to he tried silver mining in Nevada. He was a riverboat pilot. He did a very interesting life.
Bree, how did you know that? Did you look that up, or is that just one of those odd pieces of knowledge that was rattling around in the back somewhere, or what?
Yes, I've always been a fan of literature and trivia, and that is one from my high school literature teacher.
Hey, wow. Way to go, Bree.
Yeah, good way to pay attention there. Those two just came together. That was a good marriage in your mind there.
Hey, Bree, we didn't ask you where you're from in Alabama. Where are you?
Outside Huntsville in Madison.
Okay,
yeah,
great
area right there.
Beautiful. Hey, you got your question for us?
I did not. I finally got your phone number and then just kind of thought I should call.
Way to go.
Okay. Hey, Bree, last year I was privileged to speak in Scottsboro, just up from you over there. Beautiful area. I loved all the lakes and just everything. Just a wonderful place to live there for you.
Scottsboro is where the mountains meet the lakes.
Is that what they
say? Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah.
Oh,
beautiful place.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You know where that is, right, Bree?
I've seen it on the map. We just got here a couple years ago.
Oh, so okay.
Well, where did you move from?
Leavenworth, Kansas.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. From flatland to the hills. Okay.
Yeah, there
way
you
to go.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening. We're glad you got our number and glad you were able to get through. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you, Bree.
Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Brenda. Brenda, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yes. Where are you in Texas?
I'm on the road headed. I'm from Hockley, Texas.
Oh.
But I am traveling to Munster, Texas, hauling a horse.
Howdy, Brenda. Hey, if you can take us off of Bluetooth, it's really hard for us to hear you. And we'll give you just a second if you don't mind taking us off of Bluetooth. Be a little more
I'm
clear.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yes.
Much better. Better.
That's
thank you,
perfect.
Brenda. Yeah.
Ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to try and do both.
Hey, did you say you're hauling a horse?
I am.
What kind of horse?
I didn't hear.
Quarter horse? Are you going to roping, header, heeler? Are you going to run barrels? What's it looking like? Going to a rodeo?
She is a barrel horse, and she's a quarter horse. So I have a friend that I have a horse in training with her, and I'm taking this one up there, and that's what I'm doing.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Great.
Well, what question do you want to answer?
Okay, since I guess in the horse vein, so I've been reading in my chronological Bible in 2 Chronicles and Kings and talking about Solomon. How many horses, and there's a variation of answers, but how many horses did King Solomon have? How many stalls? Let's just say that. How many stalls did King Solomon have?
See, I just read that a couple of, weeks back or whatever. And it seemed like it was 4,000 or 9,000.
It's in even thousands.
Even had different cities, different outposts built to handle all the horses.
Man, I don't know.
It seems like because it's like this many chariots, this many horses.
Yeah.
It's probably 9,000, but I'm going to say 4,000.
Okay. Hey, Brenda, you're going to have to help us out on that number. What
yeah,
is?
I'm going to go with JJ on the 4,000.
Hey, I'll up him, and I'll say 10. Go ahead.
No, you are correct. 4,000.
Wow, nice.
Way to go.
Some even say 40,000, but 4,000 stalls or stables, but you're right. And imported some of the horses from Egypt, and I mean, it was just blew my mind to read that. Like you said, you know, there were different areas, but yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that really is. And for a horse person, you just notice those things. Well, thank you so much for now. Let's see.
Did you want to answer one of our questions?
I'm going to try and answer one of Brother Bird's, and I think it's the rock that doesn't sink, and that's going to be a pumice stone.
Woo! Nice. Hey! Wow!
That's it.
You know what that cowbell means?
Are you? Oh man!
Did we lose
Brenda? Okay.
I think we did.
We'll try to get it back, Brenda.
Brenda, if you'll call right back, and if you're not able to call back, go to comments@afr.net. Say this is Brenda. And
she's on.
I want
to let me go to her. Okay, Brenda's on. Hey, Brenda, are you there now?
I am. Yes, sir.
You answered the mystery question. Do you know what that means? You get.
No, I don't.
I wish that we could send you a 10-gallon hat with your horse, but we're just going to do it with the cap, AFR cap. And
Awesome.
Yeah, so you've got to hang on so we can get your mailing address. And you can wear this riding a horse.
That's
so I think
right.
You'll
oh,
be
sure.
All right.
Yeah. Great-looking ball caps.
Yeah. Nice looking.
Absolutely.
Well, have a great weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold, Brenda, and then Cindy Roberts will come on and get your information, and we'll get this in the mail to you. All right, thank you.
Well, that
I'm
made
glad
her
we
day.
Didn't lose her.
Hey, I know man, that
that's
was
fun.
Great.
You wake up on a Friday morning, you're already excited. It's been a 4-day week for a lot of people because they're off Monday. Then you don't think you're going to win something. And you're like, hey, I called in the fun radio show, Learning University, and won a ball cap.
That's so, right.
And Brenda seemed like a sweet person.
Yeah. She was transporting a horse, not a cow, though. So
that's right.
It was all right.
Yes.
All right either way. Okay.
It was still good to hear that.
Still good to hear, yes. Hey, let's go to Georgia, and it's Parker. Parker, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Howdy.
Howdy. What part of Georgia, man?
Valdosta.
Oh, yeah. Down in the south part. Great, great area. Well,
Yeah.
Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'd like to do both. That's all right.
That's great, sure man. Is. We love it that way. Which question you want to try to answer?
I'd like to answer the name of the road that Saul was converted on.
Yes, sir. Here's the question. What road was Saul traveling when he had his conversion experience?
I got to say that is Saul's Damascus Road conversion. Woo!
Nicely done. Yep. And a lot of people that may or may not know, if you hear somebody who gets radically saved, they just have a real complete life change. They're going one direction and they do a 180 after they've asked God to forgive them of their sins and receive Jesus Christ into their heart and life by faith. And you just see their language change, their habits change, their attitude, everything's so radical. They say, well, he had a road to Damascus experience, you know, where Jesus knocked Saul off his horse.
Yeah.
That bright light. And so if you're not reading your Bible, It's not boring. It's fun. It's exciting. Drama, intrigue, wisdom, poetry. You'll be blessed. You'll be inspired. And so that's just one of the many wonderful stories that's in the book of Acts.
I just got to tie this in. Now, he was going to Damascus probably to kill or at
that's
least
right.
imprison.
Had papers.
And later on, according to my question, he would be in Damascus and they'd try to kill him.
Isn't that something?
Interesting.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So Elon Musk knows just what he's going through.
Okay. Hey, Parker, you have a question for us?
Yeah, I do have a question for you. So somebody originally answered my Andy Griffith question, and I'm a pretty big Andy Griffith fan.
Well, hey, welcome to the club, man. Yeah, welcome to the
club. Have you ever bought your parents a septic tank for their anniversary or birthday or Christmas or anything?
No, I don't, but if anybody knows how expensive those are, they know how good of a gift that
yes,
is.
Yes, that's right. You're right. Putting it in, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's my question. In the Andy Griffith episode, Andy saves Barney's morale. He arrested everyone in town. What was the reason? There's actually two of them. What was the reason that Barney arrested Mayor Pike?
Well, first of all, when you say that he saved his morale, that could be 9 out of 10 episodes. I'm always amazed. I want him to just say, Barney, are you out of your ever-loving mind? And he just takes him aside, just like doesn't even let him realize it was all his fault that everything got all unraveled, and just tries to you know, be real kind and compassionate with Barney.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Pike.
You guys know the story, right?
Well, now he arrested the two guys playing checkers for being too loud or something.
Too loud playing checkers.
Aunt B was jaywalking, if I remember. I think.
Yes.
Aunt B
but
and
Mayor Pike. What was the thing?
Was it loitering? Was he?
Was it loitering?
I'm going to say loitering. I don't know if that's right or
he,
not.
He arrested everybody in town.
Oh,
everybody
man.
In
Jail
town.
Was full.
Because
was.
Because Andy had gone out of town and entrusted him, didn't he?
Yeah, man.
He entrusted him to be sheriff for a day.
For a day.
And Barney, you know, he was, let's just say he was enthusiastic that day. Everybody in town. Andy drives up after being, he went somewhere and. And
Raleigh, Mount Pilot.
Raleigh.
He had to go to Raleigh a lot because of the Capitol.
And so he says to Barney when he was, wow, everything looks quiet. Yep. And they walk in and the jails are stuffed full with people in Mayberry.
Hey, Parker, what is the answer?
So y'all actually got the answer partially correct. It was, he gave him two citations. He gave him a citation for vagrancy and loitering.
Vagrancy and
Mayor Pike.
Oh, that's good. Hey, thank you for listening to AFR. Have a great weekend there in Georgia.
Oh, man.
Hey, guys, let's reset our questions. We've got about 6 minutes before we hit the top of the hour break, but go ahead.
Okay, my Bible question is still hanging out there, and it was connected with Alex. I was exploring the word. This is morning, not afternoon.
Yes, right? That's right.
With JJ.
Got to get that straight.
How did Paul escape Damascus when the Jews were trying to kill him? And I'll add one more. No, this is the one I did add. What is the day after tomorrow called? What is the day after tomorrow called? And I'm not talking about Sunday. It's not a trick question.
No, it's not. And I think we've had this before. And okay. I didn't know that there is a word
there's
for that.
There is a real word.
Kind of like I'm thinking of like some of these like Dickens and some of this old writing where you'll hear them say something and you say, oh, that means the day after tomorrow.
Yeah. Heretofore, I'll use that.
Hey, I like that.
All right, here are my three questions that I have remaining. First question, perhaps you've had a delicious pastrami sandwich before, but is pastrami made from beef or pork? Second question, where is the sea route called Drake's Passage? If you're sailing along Drake's Passage, where are you on the planet? And then final question, your cell phone has a SIM card. What does the acronym SIM stand for? If you get a new phone, they have to switch over the SIM card, has your information, photos, that kind of thing. What does the acronym SIM stand for?
Here's what I've got. First question, true or false, airline passengers landing in Turkey are getting fined for standing up too early before the seatbelt sign is turned off. Is that true or false? Then I'll add two more. A second question, which U.S. state was named after the King of France? Which U.S. state was named after the King of France? Third question, who created the Dilbert comics? You guys remember the comic strip Dilbert? There are a lot of office things that go on in the office. Who is the writer? Who created the Dilbert comics?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Mississippi, and it's Carson. Carson, thank you for calling.
Oh, hello.
Hello. What part of Mississippi you live in, Carson?
I'm just down the road from y'all. I'm in Sardis right now.
Okay.
Yeah, Sardis. Good area. Nice lake.
Are you at the lake fishing or swimming?
No, just at the house.
Okay. Oh, great. Hey, do you want to ask, answer, or both, Carson?
Answer.
Okay, which question you want to answer?
I want to answer the SIM question.
All right, here's the question. Carson, your cell phone has a SIM card. What does the acronym SIM stand for?
I believe it stands for Subscriber Identity Module.
subscriber identification module. You're close
enough.
Wow,
that's really
man.
Impressed with you there, Carson. How is that just, you're just a young guy and you know these things, or did you look it up or what?
No, originally I was going to answer the Paul Saul question for the Damascus Road, but then someone else did it. So, and I had already looked it up just in case for the SIM question.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's all
research
right.
is good.
We ain't
man,
all right.
He is ready.
You're yes. on top of things. Hey, good. Thank you for reading your Bible, and Carson. He, that's really going to, the Lord's going to really.
And he does it on his cell phone,
that.
I bet you.
Yeah, I bet he does too. Carson, what's your question for us?
I don't have one.
Okay. Well, have all a right. great weekend, buddy. Thanks
absolutely.
For listening.
Thank you, Carson. Out there by the lake.
You bet.
All kinds of stuff you can
I got do. A Sardis Lake little insert, and Jonah had a whale of a time. I was a water skiing fanatic, but didn't have a boat at the time. This guy said, hey, my buddy said we could use his boat. And he said, here's the storage building, and the seats are right by the storage building, blah, blah, blah. We kind of missed that seats little thing. We get there. He said, it doesn't look like much, but you can have fun. Everybody's college age. We go, yeah. Here's this boat with no seats in it, and they had these aluminum old-style lawn chairs with the web. You remember the web?
Yeah.
So we get in there, we put those in there, and everybody, the first person's ready to ski, and you're sitting in these aluminum chairs with this web. And the guy, you ready? You ready? Yeah, hit it. Well, we floor the boat. The bow comes up. Everybody's chair collapses and slides. We're in a corner. The boat's just going all willy-nilly across Sardis Lake. We're all in the corner.
Well, even the guy driving it?
Yeah, yeah, nobody's driving it. The boat's just going on its own because we've slid. You know, it's got it pitches pretty high, and we're in crazy little lightweight aluminum.
Yeah.
So then, and it's pinched the back of your leg.
Oh, yeah.
So then we say, okay, you tell your brain, you know, now I got to remember this isn't bolted down. And it kept happening over and over because you just think if you're going to sit down in a chair, it's going to be steady.
Yeah.
And you're the excitement of looking out there. If you got your life belt? On your everything. So, yeah, that was a fun little Sardis Lake story.
Oh, man. All right, folks, 5-minute break for news. We'll be right back to Trivia Friday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.